You have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. The last few weeks we've been going through a series of messages entitled From the Cross to the Crown. We looked at the betrayal of the innocent, Christ there, that was betrayed by one of his own. And how he was betrayed with that kiss of treachery, and how he had a makeshift trial and was condemned and all alone, abandoned by those that were closest to him. And then as we moved forward, we looked at the trial of a sinless king, the only man who ever lived without sin, but yet was tried in a makeshift court by religious leaders. The hypocrisy of religion and how we are oftentimes on the outside religious, but yet on the inside still cold and dark and sinful. We looked at how the Savior did not say a word, how He endured it all, and how the choice of the crowd, how they chose a murderer, a criminal, over Jesus. Someone who would take life versus the one who would give life. One who would cause havoc and trouble in the communities versus one who went about and healed those that were sick and caused blind eyes to see and deaf ears to hear and the mute to speak and the lame to walk. But they chose Barabbas nonetheless. Then we looked at Christ on the cross, how he was beaten beyond recognition, how he was taken to a place called Golgotha, a place of the skull, because nothing lives there. How he hanged on a cross, and we saw again the mockery of the crowds as they looked upon him and cast lots for his garments. And of course, all of that was fulfillment of prophecy. And go back into the book of Psalms and you can read that. And we saw where Christ, even in his dying moments, still had mercy. And mercy towards those who were also in their most pitiful states, as the criminal there on his left and right hand, as they said that they were indeed getting their just reward, right? They have been given the punishment that is due them. And how Christ said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," to the one who said, "Lord, remember me." It's interesting to note as we moved forward how there was silence of the tomb as Jesus was placed there in the tomb. And interestingly enough, and I'll make this as a side note, if you will, and if you would like the notes on this entire series, they are available if you would like to have them. But nonetheless, it's interesting how that in Roman times, the traditional way, cultural way of their capital punishment was crucifixion. And to ensure that they were dead, they would go by and break the legs of them being crucified to ensure to see if they were still alive or if they had died. But interesting how that Jesus, when they got to Jesus, they didn't break his legs. Is that not interesting? And if you knew the Old Testament, you would understand that a sacrificial lamb, as it would be offered to God, it had to be a perfect lamb, right? Without blemish, without spot, without any broken bones. And we see how Christ is oftentimes referred to as the Lamb of God. And even as the Lamb of God, his bones were still not broken. And then we come to this day, Resurrection Sunday. And I'm sure as the evening sun went down on Friday and it came up on Saturday morning and went back down on Saturday night, how the hope was growing dim in the followers of Christ. But let's read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and we'll begin in verse number 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your word this morning. God, we're so thankful that the grave could not hold you, that you are alive forevermore. And Lord, as I proclaim your word this morning, I pray that you would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, if these dear folk not see me today, but God, they would see you. Speak to our hearts, Lord. May we listen. May we do that you've called us to do. Save that one that is lost. Lord, bring that one that is sin in their life or wandering around in a wilderness of sin, God, that you would call them to repentance and that they would repent and turn back to you. Lord, for whatever you do here this morning, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The resurrection of a king. Early on the first day of the week, if you can picture it and go back in time, while the world still slept, heaven shook the earth. An angel descended and the stone was rolled away, and death had lost its greatest victory because Jesus Christ walked out of that grave alive. This is resurrection, and it's not some symbol. It is not poetry. It's not a beautiful story. It's the greatest event in all of human history, that the tomb is empty, that Christ is risen. So we see, first of all, that this stone was rolled away. An angel had rolled back this stone not to let Jesus out, right? But the risen Christ, he didn't need help leaving this tomb. The stone was rolled away so that the world could look inside and see. Because what did the angel say? Come and look where he laid. It wasn't so that he could get out. It was for us to understand that he is no longer there. Dear friend, you can go to a lot of tombs today of a lot of religious leaders and some of those who have claimed to be God or the Son of God, and I can guarantee you this morning, you roll back the dirt from their grave, you will find their bones because they're dead. Jesus is not dead. The stone was rolled away. Death had been defeated, and the grave that once held the very Son of God is now empty forever. We see the fear of the guards. This was one that also interested me. The Roman guards, it says there, they shook with fear and became like dead men. Can you imagine the sight? I'm sure that if we were honest with ourselves this morning, all of us would say we'd probably be in the same situation, right? And if I saw an angel come down from heaven and all of the earth was shaken and they appeared as lightning and white raiment, I would be fearful and probably would stand there as a dead man. These Roman guards shook with fear. These were trained soldiers, mind you, trained soldiers who had faced battles without flinching. Yet when they was confronted with the very power of God, they trembled and collapsed in terror. Because resurrection power cannot be resisted. I found it also interesting, and you can read this on down into the chapter if you would like at some point, how that these guards were trying to conspire as to what happened. Why? Why would they want to do or devise some plan to cover themselves? Basically, their life was on the line, right? They thought of everything, and everything that they would think of wouldn't be able to be used because it would cost them their life. They can't say, well, we fell asleep. First of all, if you fell asleep and the earth trembled and a stone was rolled away, I'm pretty sure that would wake you. But even if you fell asleep, that would have caused you to be killed. They can't say that they were overtaken because there wasn't many followers of Christ. Wasn't but 12, right? One had already abandoned him. The others were still shacked up in fear because of what was happening. So they couldn't say they came and robbed the grave. But then that would also question your ability to be a soldier if you can't fight off a few men. They can't use any logical idea because they had guards placed strategically to where that stone would not be moved without somebody knowing. There was no way to sneak in, right? There was no way to do it. And so these guards feared and trembled. We see the joy of the women. These women came to mourn. They came with oils and spices to prepare the body for a proper burial. They were mourning, but then they encountered this angel who declared that he is not here, for he is risen. And these words changed the entire course of history. That sin was defeated, death had been conquered, and hell was robbed of its power. It was final. That joy or that mourning turned to joy. Because Christ lives, sin no longer has the final word. Because Christ lived, death no longer is the end of the story. I've presided over many funerals over the last 20 years, and I always would say or talk with families, especially if someone I didn't know, and they would assure me that they knew the Lord, and I would always say, you know, this is not the end. I'm glad it's not the end. Amen. I'm glad it's not. But it is merely the beginning, because Christ lives, every graveyard in this world has become temporary. I've often said, and I've shared it with the folks here at West Acres often in previous churches I've pastored, and as a funeral director for 18 years, I've been in many a cemetery, and you look at the dates on the and the epitaphs amongst the monuments scattered throughout, and I've often said I would love to stand in the cemetery when the Lord comes. Not because I question of whether those graves will pop open and the dead in Christ will rise, but because I know when it happens, as quickly as it will, I know I'm next, right? Because those that remain will be called up together with them, and there shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Every graveyard is temporary. The devil thought Friday was victory, right? He thought it was victory. This Son of God is now dead. His power is over. But then Sunday morning proved him wrong. The cross was not defeat. The tomb was not the end. That Jesus rose from the dead in power and glory. And the same Lord who walked out of that grave will one day come again. He'll come again. The stone was rolled away. The grave is empty. The King is alive. All because He lives. And all who trust in Him will live also. As I read that passage this morning during our announcement times, I love what Paul had to say, that I'll show you a mystery, that we will not all sleep. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul concludes with this, and I would think that this is something that maybe we need today for encouragement. It says, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I realize in our society today that it is difficult to live a life that is pleasing to God. It is difficult to live a righteous life, and it's difficult to have patience with people. I get it. Trust me. Traffic this morning coming out of Memphis was horrendous, right? And I kept saying, you know, it's Easter Sunday. There's more traffic. You know, that's the reason. Everybody's going that one time where everybody wants to be with family and do things and church. And most churches had early service, so we had that to deal with. So, but I'm saying it's so hard today to live a life that is honorable to Him. But Paul encouraged us that even in the midst of this difficult time, because we know we have a Savior who rose from the dead, that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in His work. He gave that command as Matthew's Gospel 28, chapter 28, as you'll look down towards the end of that chapter. As He met with His disciples, and I'm going to close with this as well. As He met with His disciples, and they were excited, right, that He had risen from the dead, and that should be the excitement of every child of God today, that we don't serve a dead God, but He is alive. But they asked the question, what do we do now? Of course, Jesus was telling them, hey, I'm going to go away, and you'll read this over in John's Gospel, that I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. But He gave them this command. And dear friend, this is a command for all of us. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So when this world is chaotic, and this world has its problems, and all that's going on, please know this morning that our resurrected Christ is with us, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And one of these days, He'll split that eastern sky, and we shall see Him and be with Him forevermore. Amen. We'll take a moment to have a moment of silence. We'll partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. It wasn't necessarily planned. We had made the decision some time back to have the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every new quarter something like that. And it just happened to fall on Easter Sunday this time. And I thought how appropriate that would be to celebrate what He has done for us on Calvary's cross and knowing that He is still alive today. And so I want to give a moment of silence for us to examine our hearts. If there be sin in your life, I encourage you to repent of that and make sure that all is well with you between you and God. And then we'll partake of communion together.